service agreements give us same number.
Thank you. Thank you. You all have a chance to read today at the ECHR judgment that the European Court found serious, grave violations of human rights concerning our client, Mikhail Borisovich Khodorkovsky. We were waiting for this day for 7 years, and today we are satisfied, and today we are welcoming this judgment of the European Court. You had the list of the points which the European Court found violated by the Russian Federation authorities, and it is a very, very impressive list of violations. It's almost all principal points which we have raised in our complaint in February 2004 and in our further complaints.
Lord Panik, would you like to give an...
Yes, can I just add to that? The court has found today a number of serious violations of the convention in the first of a series of complaints made to the Strasbourg court. I just want to add a comment on Article 18. Article 18 is a supplementary provision. It's very rarely applied by the court because the standard of proof is so high, as the court itself emphasized. I want to emphasize that when a court, whether it is the Strasbourg court or the United States Supreme Court or any other national court, finds serious and repeated breaches of fundamental rights, that is a major victory for the claimant and a major defeat for the government, whether or not the court also attributes, as it very rarely does, a bad faith motive to that government. Those are the supplementary points I wanted to make.
Karina, can I just ask you to expand on Article 3?
Yeah, it's really fundamental. What we were trying to prove to the European Court, and we have succeeded in that the treatment of Mr. Khodorkovsky was deliberately inhuman and degrading. And with this point, the European Court fully agreed in its judgment. It said that inhuman treatment took place in prison, and during the whole first trial in Meshchansky court, when our client, together with Platon Lebedev, were kept in a metal cage. And this is important because it is deliberate, and because it is intentionally, and because it is a fundamental right has been violated.
Heidi, I think we're ready to move to Q&A now.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Your first question comes from Gregory White from Wall Street Journal. Please ask your question.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. My question is about the Article 18 finding. I know there has been a lot of attention paid to the result here, and I'm curious whether this ruling is likely to have a precedential value for the other cases still pending related to both Khodorkovsky and Yukos more generally, or whether this, in your view, is a narrowly drawn ruling on the lack of political motivation.
First of all, we are not going to today discuss any other cases, and we are speaking only on the case which we have already judgment decided by the European Court. Our principal point that this is a supplementary provision of the European Convention, as my colleague Lord Panik said already, is once or twice in the history of the European Court when they decided on that matter, And this is not the last point. Remember that this is a judgment for the very first application of Mr. Khodorkovsky. There are coming some other judgments, and we will see. And what we would like to emphasize that the evidence on political motivation has significantly increased since the first application. And do not forget that even Amnesty International, only last week, after the second trial, had decided that Mr. Khodorkovsky and Lebedev, they both are prisoners of conscience. Maybe it's not time to decide for the European Court. And don't forget that this court was always, always very much care do not be too political, to avoid any, to be somehow political. So it means that at this stage, in conjunction with Article 5, as they have decided, they haven't found a breach of Article 18 because maybe it is not yet time to find this. But we will see further how they would decide on that.
Stuart, could I just add to that, that of course what matters in each of the cases that are going to be considered in the future is whether or not there are substantial violations of the convention. In the later cases, as in this case, Article 18 is very much a supplementary provision, and it may be unnecessary, as it is in this case, for Article 18 violations to be established. I would also emphasize that the way in which the Strasbourg Court works is that it considers very carefully the evidence that is before it in the particular case. It's very carefully confined to the particular circumstances of each particular case, and therefore it's quite difficult to assess the implications for future cases by reference to a particular judgment.
Okay, thank you. Next question, please.
Your next question comes from Marc-Antoine Baudou from AFP. Please ask your question.
Yes, are you going to appeal the decision of the court or not?
We have already consulted with our client. He realizes why the Russian government is going to appeal to the Grand Chamber if they have the success to refer this case to the Grand Chamber. Concerning our position, the European Court has recognized almost all points, all principal points, starting from the first apprehension of the client, which we insisted was completely unlawful in its nature, until the very end of his preliminary detention. I mean, everything has been recognized by the European Court. So, thank you for your question.
Okay.
Next question, please.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key.
No other questions coming.
Your next question comes from Gregory White from Wall Street Journal. Please have a question.
Oh, hi, sorry to push on the appeal question. I just want to make sure I understood correctly. So you do not plan to appeal to the Grand Chamber, but the Russian government from public statements may, correct?
Mr. White, the position of Mr. Khodorkovsky is that he is delighted at the vindication of his position in the European Court. Judgment was delivered to us about 2.5 hours ago. Mm-hmm. Mr. Khodorkovsky is going to have to consider very carefully the detail of the judgment before he makes any further decisions, but he's delighted by the vindication of his position.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Your next question comes from Michael Schwartz from New York Times. Please ask your question.
Hello. Can you please explain to me how this might change Ms. Khodorkovsky's circumstances currently in Moscow, whether it will have any sort of effect?
the
what the next steps might be in this process.
Right. The European Court is very much concerned with the non-implementation of judgments, especially in the question of measures of general character by the Russian Federation and by other countries as well. So it means that this next step is follow-up. It is the implementation of judgments. According to the first information came from Supreme Court of the Russian Federation, they are going to think on the way to implement this judgment. It means that it has to be a sufficient redress after this violation, after the finding of this violation by the European Court. We certainly would work with the Department on Implementation of Judgments at the Committee of Ministers of the Council of Europe for finding the way of better implementation of the judgment. It's early to say about concrete measures because we don't know the destiny of this judgment, if the Russian authorities are going to complain or they would not do that. They already expressed their intention, but it depends. And after the judgment is going to become final, we will define the better claims for full redress. What is clear now that this judgment is a good example, good precedent created by the European Court in one case, which would certainly affect the system of the choosing the measure of prevention, as the Russian authorities call preliminary detention. And it is clear that the situation in Russia cannot remain as current. It has to be done something in sense of measures of individual character and certainly in the measures of general character.
If I could, just one more question. When we're talking about implementation of the judgment, though, can that implementation go beyond just paying the fine to somehow change the terms of Mr. Khodorkovsky's confinement, or does it not cover that?
Russian law says if during the trial, during the procedure, there were fundamental violations being recognized by the European Court, the case can be referred to the new hearing or retry or somehow redress. But it is certainly that something has to be done. Just not in this stage. Let us wait until the judgment becomes final.
Mr. Schultz, could I add to Karina's answer that the European Convention system requires that those states that are found to have acted in breach of convention rights have an obligation to provide effective redress for the wrongs that they have committed? And you may well want to ask the Russian government precisely what they are now going to do to implement the findings of the European Court and to respond, as they are obliged to respond, to the findings of very serious violations. And we look forward to hearing very much what they are proposing to do about this.
I should add, we have somebody here who can do translation into Russian, so if we have any Russian journalists who wanted to ask a question, don't be afraid. You can ask it in Russian, we'll have it translated. Next question, please.
Your next question comes from Elisa Di Corbono from Reuters News. Please ask your question.
Yes, hello. Thanks for taking the call. My question's been covered by Michael Schwartz, but if you could just build a little bit on how you think that the decision on the European Court could affect Russia's own steps in any further trials, like even the parole appeal or an official stance towards his detention.
Thank you for your question. It is for sure that we are not going to discuss today any other issues like parole or earlier release or things like that. We are discussing today purely the findings of the European Court. It is clear that the client would never been agreed to restrict the measures after this judgment, only like payment compensation, which he found like necessary, deliberately make as a symbolic sum. Again, I have to repeat that Article 413 of the Russian Criminal Procedural Code prescribes that the authorities have to take some measures. And we would expect that, as my colleague Mr. Panik said, we will see what the Russian Federation would propose as their redress of actions. And then we will reflect to that.
Could I refer you also to the court's judgment at paragraph 270, where the court emphasizes, and I quote, that its judgments are essentially declaratory in nature, that in general it is primarily for the state concerned to choose, subject to supervision by the Committee of Ministers, the means to be used in its domestic legal order in order to discharge its obligations, unquote. That is the way in which the convention system works. The Strasbourg Court only very rarely lays down a specific remedy other than compensation and costs, and we were awarded all the compensation we required. We were awarded all the costs that we requested, indicating that the court itself recognized that this was a victory, a substantial victory for Mr. Kozlovsky, but it is for the Russian Federation now to consider how it is going to ensure that the findings of the European Court are properly implemented in Russia.
Thank you. Next question, please.
There seems to be no further questions. If you do wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. The next question comes from Gregory White from Wall Street Journal. Please ask your question.
Hi, apologies for monopolizing. I was wondering if you could talk about how the court's findings in the handling of pretrial detention and the trial itself differed or similar to what were the violations that the court found in the first Lebedev complaint, since it was the same trial, and whether there was any overlap, any change in the court's approach to these issues.
Yes, the Mr. Lebedev's lawyers appealed to the Supreme Court of the Russian Federation, and the Russian Federation Supreme Court decided that his detention was in some parts unlawful, in some parts unsubstantiated. We are expecting even more impact because the nature of the violations which have been found in this case, in this judgment, says that these are really grave violations, and we would seek another ways to redress the violated client's rights. But it is really early to speak on that.
Any other questions, please?
There are no further questions at time. Please continue.
Can I just confirm there are no further questions? If there are no further questions, we'll just hand over to Karina just to read a sort of final statement. Are there any other questions?
There are no questions at this time.
So finally, our team wants to conclude. The court has found numerous violations of Mikhail Borisovich's fundamental rights during his arrest and detention. This shows that the treatment that he received from the very start was unlawful, and that from then on he has been subjected to degrading and humiliating treatment. This is an important step in finally securing the vindication of his rights. Also, we would like to say that the supplementary findings declining to find that there was political motivation, because the court said that its standard of proof was very high, which requires uncontrovertible and direct proof. Evidence of political motivation has significantly increased since the first application, and indeed, only last week, Amnesty International had designated Khodorkovsky as a prisoner of conscience. That's our last conclusion.
And we will be sending around a press release which details the key points made during this call. Let me just ask finally, no further questions. If not, we will wrap up and say thank you for your time.
There are no questions.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
That does conclude our conference for today. For those of you wishing to review this conference, the replay facility can be accessed by dialing within the UK on 0845 245 5205, or alternatively on country code +44 1452 55 00 00. The reservation number is 718-59943. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.
Thank you very much.